Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
I am Ben's son. No, I'm not. I'm his dad. That's a good start. Oh. Let's put that behind me. These things, I hate them. We travelled up, let's put that in there. We travelled up from Dorset on Friday. Had a lovely trip, and I come with blessings and good wishes from our church down in Dorchester, who actually, when they said we're coming up here just to see my children, they blessed us by actually saying, you can go with our blessing, and we're going to pay for it this weekend. So we're on a free weekend, which is actually brilliant. And as you know, that you had a dedication last week, didn't you? And the two things that came to my mind when I was reading this passage about Moses and this, you know, being a hero, two things came to me was identity and parenthood. Very strange. I said parents. So I'm actually going to not do what I was told to do. I'm going to do a little bit before, because I'm going to extend the passage when I come to it. I'm going to include the passage of Hebrews 11:23, which actually talks about when Moses was born as well. So, first of all, I want us, I say, to get into back to the heroes of faith that you've been doing earlier on. And I want us to look at Moses, because we say that with a few hiccups, we can also say Moses was a true man of faith. He was in the times of the Israelite people through the most trying times, as well as the times of probably most blessing at the same time. And what can we say about Moses? Well, we can say he was known as a man of God. Now, wouldn't it be lovely when we walk across the streets, right? Somebody says to you, look, there's a woman of God. There's a man of God. These are things of what should be coming outside of us from the love of Jesus, which is in us. So it was a lovely thing. He is known as the man of God. He was known as the prophet. He was entrusted with God's laws and commands. He saw God's glory actually pass by. If you read a passage in Exodus 33:17, you will know that, you know, nobody can see God face to face. It is just too awesome for us to take. I don't know what would happen to us, but we would probably go and have the end of it.
What's this?
But, I'll put it down a bit, Ben. But God hid him. If you read it, he wanted to see God, and God said, you can't do that, but I'll tell you what, I'll let my glory pass by, and he hid him in the cleft of a rock, and he went by. Nobody else has done that. Nobody else has seen that. Moses had real conversations with God. You know, we get impressions. We know God is with us. We know God is in us. He really speaks to us that way. But according to what we read about Moses, he had real dialogue with God. And I think it's amazing. God used him to demonstrate his sovereignty over all the earth with signs and wonders. You read about the plagues. This was to combat the gods of the pharaohs, basically. Everything that they throwed at him, Moses had God on his side and said, right, this is it. So through him, God demonstrated his sovereignty and power. He was the man that God chose to lead his people out of slavery. Now, we know that we've got a greater person than that called Jesus Christ that led us out of our chains. He is one of the most famous characters in the Bible. He's so famous, you know, that they've made several films about him. And I think that's amazing. Quite a CV. And you know where it all started? It all started with a courageous act of faith. So let's just sort of read the passage and then I'll pray. By faith, this is Hebrews 11:23-27. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because he saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was unseen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just praise your name. Lord, we want to learn a lesson today about Moses that will affect us by our faith. Lord, will you speak to us? Will you make it clear what's being brought? Will you take away the dross and just bring in what is true? Lord, I just ask for your peace in this message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I truly do need peace in this message because I've got this message and I was doing a bit of editing last night, or with my darling wife last night, and most of my message got wiped off. So I've got the first bit, but the second bit, which seemed to make sense last night, actually doesn't make any sense at all for me today. Because I'm somebody who's very disorganized. I put in, that came to my mind, and that came to my mind. And I put it all in, and it's all here. And then I sit down, and I think, right, okay, I'll take that out, and I'll put that up there, and that fits nicely there. So this may be the shortest preach that you've ever heard. Yes, I knew that. Right. Okay. Right, so let's start with the verse about this is about parents. And I really felt I want to bring this to you because being grandparents, because of the dedication, as a church, we commit ourselves to all being responsible for our young ones next door. And it's a great responsibility and it's a great blessing. Believe it or not, parents, those children in there are a great blessing. All right? So by faith, Moses was born. When he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. If you read an account by Stephen, the first martyr, basically, who got stoned in Acts 27:20, he also recognizes that Moses, he put it this way, Moses, he was beautiful in God's sight. Now, I believe that all our children are beautiful, aren't they, in our sight? Our grandchildren, if you haven't got children, I can assure you, if you are blessed with children, you'll think the same. Yours is the most wonderful baby out. And Ben, I would say, he was a beautiful baby. He was glowing. He had jaundice, but he was glowing. Dominic, his brother, he was an ugly baby. He was ugly. Oh, no, but only the fact that he came out with his head slightly on the side, like this. So he came out all blue and bruised. So we had a glowing baby and a bruise. Now, Dominic's okay now. He turned out, oh, he's lovely. But I believe here, when they say he was beautiful in God's sight, there was a call on his life from the word go. And Scripture tells us very clearly that God has a plan for each one of us. Now, we may not know that plan, but we just keep working on faith, hoping we will find that plan. And we will get to that plan. God will direct us if we listen to him. He also knows that he knows us before we were born. So again, I believe there's a call on Moses' life, who's not Moses yet, remember. He doesn't get named Moses until he reaches the Pharaoh's daughter. I believe there is a call. See, Moses was born really with a death sentence over his head. Pharaoh was worried about the population explosion of the Israelites. They were like rabbits. They were absolutely multiplying. No matter what Pharaoh and they did, they would put hardship on them. They would knock them down. But these guys just kept populating, kept going at it. All right? So, the midwives were told to kill the baby boys, but the girls could be saved and used as slaves. So, the first account of that is the midwives actually went back to Pharaoh and said, we cannot, you know, these Hebrew women, which is the Israelites as well, these Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. In other words, they give birth so quickly that by the time we get there, we can't do what you ask us to do. And the Pharaoh swallowed that lovely big lie up anyway. So he made another command that said, no, every baby boy must be born. That was born would be thrown into the Nile. This must have been a real terrifying time for the slaves, for the slaves at the time. And I'm not quite sure how we would deal with it today. Now, you've got a baby boy, but you've got a family of five. Now, I can imagine that the command would have been, if they don't do it, then the whole family will suffer. So I should imagine, even in that most traumatic time, some of these parents would have actually carried out that command and actually committed their son to death. Very, very tragic. Very, very sad. But God had a plan for Moses. And by faith, the parents believed this and released their son into God's care. Now, I love God. I do believe he's got a great sense of humor. See, don't you love when God's plan comes together? See, what does he do? He doesn't send Moses in a basket away from the enemy. He sends him straight into the enemy camp. So he sits there. And the Pharaoh's daughter sees this basket, and they get him out. And instead of looking at Moses and saying, that's a Hebrew baby, right, get rid of him, he needs to be killed, God brings compassion into her heart. I just believe that's God all over it. And that baby then is taken into the Pharaoh's palace, basically, after time, really underneath the nose of the man that actually put death sentence there. If you cannot see God in that and how good God is, then I think you're a little bit blind. So, but it's even more great news on this one. What happens is, because it's a baby, it needs a wet nurse. And who does the wet nurse? Moses' original mother. I mean, it's amazing. But not about that. She gets paid for it now, for looking after her own baby. I think I can't believe how God works this through. He is a miracle worker. So when the question of where did Moses, in a time of searching, find his faith in God, the Israelites, I believe it is through the faith-filled mum, right? Wet nursing in those days, my understanding of it, they would have had them there for probably 2 to 3 years. That's my research in this. But the chances are, it's nearly up to 12 years that she could have had an input into that child, her child. Now, for those 12 years, or let's say 5 years, it doesn't matter, whatever the period is, I believe she would have spoken words of God over him. I believe she would have continuously prayed for him. And I believe that she would have given all the true stories, not fable stories, the true stories of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and many more. She would have actually been blessed by these stories to give to him, and he would have soaked it in. So can I encourage you? This is my sort of like first part. Can I encourage you, all parents today, as a church, looking out the children of these parents as well? Can I encourage you to be heroes of faith as mums, as dads? Can I? Can you help them know the truth of Jesus and how precious they are to him? Be an example to them in your faith to them, in your marriages, in your dealings with other people. It's a great call we have here. And that preciousness, they will soak in and they will always witness what we do, right and wrong. Give them the best chance to find their faith in Jesus. We have a great example of this in Timothy. Timothy was a guy that followed Paul. But Paul commends Timothy's nan and mum. He says this in number 2 Timothy 1:5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwells first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. I believe their parents had a great influence in Timothy to allow him to see Christ later on. And I believe your influences in your children, or these children, will have a great influence on making them see God when it's their time to hear his call. So I've got to pray that over us, all right? Heavenly Father, I just pray. I pray for our young children, Lord. I pray for the parents of these children and the church that they go to, Lord. I pray that they never sort of stand back in their responsibility to make sure that against the schools that teach evolution as fact, against the sciences that try to make faith just a good thing if it feels good. I pray against them, and I pray that these parents and these children only hear the truth, that they can combat the world that will try to draw them away in every aspect of their life. Lord, look after these children. Bring them up in your name. I ask this in Jesus. Amen. Okay, now we get to the bit, I'm a bit all over the place. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. We are in a battle, church. We are in a battle for our identity. We are in battle for our lives and our internal future. And if we are to overcome it, in every situation, we must stand out as people of faith. That's what Moses did. He stood up by faith. Hebrews 11:1 tells us what faith is, just to remind us. Faith is an assurance or confidence of things hoped for and a conviction of things not seen. Although we read that Moses had power, he had wealth, he had any pleasures he desired within the Egyptian kingdom, he chose to turn his back on all these things, consider them nothing when compared to the eternal promises of God. And let's understand, Moses chose. He wasn't kicked out. He didn't get found out. There's a story, if you read the story better, you say that he killed a Pharaoh and then he ran away. No, before he killed the Pharaoh, he already made his mind up in faith to step out and be identified with the children of Israel. A lot of people may get this battle because if you read the actual full script, go back to Exodus, you'll see that he runs away in fear. And I think it doesn't matter whether you believe that maybe he ran away in fear or in faith. The thing about it, the faith came first. We can understand Elijah. Remember, Elijah made that big sort of the prophets and got all the prophets and did a big sort of bonfire and killing of the calf. He did a great act to show God's sovereignty. After that, he ran away in fear because he's frightened of Isabel, right? Jezebel, thank you. So fear isn't a thing, but what you can do, you rise above fear by stepping out in faith. So he chose this. He did not lose his privileges. He chose to turn his back on all these things. And another thing I want us to understand is God did not demand it. So you don't come to God perfect. Your faith is not perfect. When you stand out in faith, that don't mean say, I've got to be perfect before I can actually have faith. No, your faith is, I believe you, God. I see you. I don't know how I'm going to get from here to there or what's going to happen when I walk out this door. But today I want to put my faith in you. And I'll deal with that later. If I got situations I need to deal with, through knowing you, you can help me deal with them, please. So Moses had a call on his life. He didn't know exactly how that call was going to work out and how much it would cost him. And we don't. Whenever you stand up for God, or whatever you do in God's name, you don't do it thinking, oh, well, if I do that, well, maybe I'll get rejected there, or if I do that, maybe I'll get rewarded there. No, you do it in faith, and then you say, God, I trust you with the next step I take in my life. So let's not misunderstand how difficult this would have been for Moses when he made that choice. We look at it about the riches and we look about the wealth and these sexual pleasures. It doesn't say he actually indulged in any of that, in that. But it was there on his doorstep. The temptations were in his face. But I want to bring it down to another little, more of an intimate thing. And that is, basically, how was he going to explain his decision that he was going to actually give up the palace and join the people of Israel to the Pharaoh's daughter? How is he going to do that? This woman had compassion on him. This woman loved him. This woman would have seen him take his first horse ride, his first chariot ride, hold a sword in his hand. There would have been love and intimacy there. It was, you know, I cannot see, when you say she had compassion, that doesn't go away. We are born with that, and that's something that I think, you know, you were great part of. So it must have been very difficult for him to know, or, you know, when he had to go and tell her what he's going to do. And for us, let us be honest, sharing our faith with parents, perhaps. I don't know how many of you have got parents who don't believe. I come from a family that had a parent that didn't believe. I know Ben's Jen, parents don't believe. It is one of the most difficult things when you come into a room, you meet God, and then who have you got to tell first? I've got to go and tell my parents. I've got to now tell my friends. It is not going to be easy, because you will get rejection from some. You will get your stupid so-and-so from other people. You will get, a lot of people just don't understand. They think you're chucking your life away. They don't understand, actually what you said, Damien, I'm going to come to it in a minute. They don't understand that you're actually giving up a life that is dead for a life that is going to be alive. There's always a battle. I mean, I was very, you know, when I went and told my mum, I was sort of shaking a bit, and I said, you know, mum, I got to tell you something. And mum wasn't not a disbeliever, but she never actually, you know, she just brought up in the culture that said, you know, well, yeah, we're a Christian country. And I just remember, I said, mum, I got to tell you, I was 40 when I actually became a Christian. So I'm like Moses. Moses was 40 when he made this decision. I was 40. And I sort of really couldn't believe how hard that was to get the word. Say, mum, I want to tell you something. The day I discovered Jesus is real, and I gave my faith, you know, gave my life to him. And it was like, yes, dear. But, you know, you are all right, aren't you? And, you know, she just couldn't get it. But what I felt she heard was, so I'm not a good mother, I didn't bring you up right. Is that what you're saying? And I said, no, it's not. It's not. No, you're a great mum. It's just at this point in time, there's something, honestly, mum, you're missing it. But I don't want you to miss it. This is something I need to share with you. This is something happened in my life that I know is real. It's just lovely. And that conflict is actually reflected in Matthew 10:34. A bit what Damien actually brought to him. It says, do not think that I have come to bring peace to earth. To the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the person's enemies will be those in his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. They are tough words to take. They're tough words to take. I'll tell you, you can take them, because if you submit to Christ, who fills you with love, the love that you have for your parents, the love that you have for your children, the love that you have for your spouse, will be even greater than the love that you think you've got for them now. That's what it means. It means you need to be in pure love of Jesus, not artificial love of the world that is so all over the place. So, it is going to be tough to share your testimony. But I tell you what, if you can share your testimony, the blessings that you can bestow on them as well as receive that yourself is going to be great. Moses' identity was not in his old life. Not in the palace of the Pharaoh. How could he have identified then with the people if he stayed there anyway? I mean, here he was up here. He just observed them all his life. He must have understood them. And maybe I think his faith inside, his knowledge of the Israelites then, was from the parents. But yeah, but maybe he had access to some sort of knowledge of their culture. So he might have built some more sort of faith on that. He might have built a bit more faith on just a straight revelation from God. I don't know. I just believe it's the parents which were the greatest influences in his life. So his identity now was with the new family of God, as a child of God. And we know now that Jesus came down. He was born not in a palace. He was born in a stable. Because how can we identify with a God that just sits up on a high throne? The glory of God, all the riches of heaven, he gave up. So we often talk about Moses is an example of God to come, Jesus to come. And in this situation, we can really see, identify with the two. Especially when we see that how much he gave up, and then also basically to lead them out of their bondage. We have been led out of bondage if we have accepted Christ. So for those in the room today with the faith to believe that Jesus is your Savior, you do have a new identity. And that is as a child of God. You can't say anymore, well, I was born this way. It doesn't work. I've heard people say, I get very angry because I was born this way. I'm very particular in this way because I was born this way. You have been born a new creation in Christ. You choose then if you're going to be an angry person, if you're going to be a selfish person, if you're going to, whatever it is that holds you back. From that point on, you are choosing to let that dominate you. It's not an excuse in front of Jesus. Okay? So, if you hear anybody say that, say, you're born again. That doesn't apply to you. Let us pray about it. Okay? So, Colossians 3, 1-3 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things that are above and not on things on earth. That's what Moses did. He got to a point where he set his mind on things above. That's where he could make that big step of faith. Cool. If we do that, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, we need to demonstrate this through our churches and gatherings. Are we serious about our faith? That last song said, Lord, I surrender. I surrender all. Who didn't sing that? I sang it, and it's one of the most toughest songs to sing. Because I know in the back of my head, and in the back of my, well, I surrendered, went, you know, 70%, 80%, 10%, I don't know. Whatever you surrender, you're holding something. Most of us struggle to hold. That's okay. Don't worry about that. It's just the fact that that's what we're saying. We want to surrender. And that's where God wants our hearts to be. Do you want to surrender? If you want to surrender, that's where we talk about grace. And the grace of God comes and says, that's all right. I'll help you through that bit that you don't want. But give it to me anyway. I'll help you through it. And it may be every day you have to do it, but I'll help you through it. So we need to demonstrate. And as I say, are we serious about that? Do you want, then, to be an effective family for God in this area? Do you want this church to continue to grow? I'll tell you what, it won't be through the people of influence. It won't be through the wealth that you may gather or may be brought in. We all pray for wealth, you know, pray, well, who's going to come in through the door, we can do things. It won't be for that. Now, I don't say God doesn't use that. Honestly, you know, he will use people and influences to get you things. He will use Pharaoh's daughter, you see. And he will use wealth, but providing it's done in the right way. We say the love of money is the evil act, not the money itself. The money itself, God knows what we need. That's what I'm trying to say. We don't let that become our objective. Our objective is to keep our faith on God. Let him deal with all what we need. Okay, so we just pray to him. So it won't be through influence people. It won't be through money. And I'll tell you what it won't be either. It won't be through compromising on the word of God. right? The world churches, there's a lot of churches out there that demonstrate or always think, how can we get somebody new in? How can we get the people in? And so they just figure out all these projects. And they compromise and water down God's word. Now, it doesn't matter where we come from in this world. We love everybody, but we can't accept everything they do. That's God's word. So it's not we're rejecting. Somebody, I heard it just on the radio, come in here. Somebody said, you talk about, say, the gays or lesbian. Suddenly you're homophobic. No, we're not homophobic. We love them as a person. And I would love to have them in here. But we couldn't go down to condone or encourage them to continue down that road. That is what we're talking about. So do not compromise on God's word. And I believe this is the great thing about this. You must be a church that actually demonstrates the grace of God through his word, the love of Jesus in your action, and the power and the work of the Holy Spirit that is in you, inside of you. If you do those three things, you will conquer the need for wealth, prestige, and desirable things, sinful, desirable acts. God is delivering his people daily and is building his kingdom, and nothing can stop. But all he asks us to have is faith. Here's what churches sound like, and I'm sure you've heard of this before. And it really turns me, I really love this passage. And I look at our church down at the family church down at Dorchester, and I look at other churches and I think, God, this is almost the perfect church. They devoted themselves, this is Acts 2:42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, and they sold property, possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying, listen to this, enjoying the favor of all people. If you lot and everybody else in all their fellowships are a miserable bunch of so-and-sos, it ain't going to be very attractive. We need to enjoy fellowship with one another. We need to enjoy loving one another, being sacrificial to one another. In small groups, is small groups and Sunday a priority to you? Because honestly, you will water down your faith if somebody comes to you and says, oh, can you, I'm doing something Wednesday. Would you like to join us? You know, we're going down, mates are going down having a pint, or it's quiz night, whatever. And you say, yeah, I'll join you. It's only church. Isn't it more powerful to say, actually, yeah, I would love to join you, but I'm going to sound a little bit more exciting than that. I'm going to midweek group. I've got people there that look out to me. I've got people that love me. And actually, I've got people there that need me because I can pray for them as well. When you're missing from church, there's a hole. Nobody fills that seat. When you're missing from a midweek group, nobody sort of fills that seat as well. If you're serious that I surrender all, then you must be saying, I want to be where children of God are. And that's what Moses said. This is the big thing that came into my Moses. He gave up everything to see this group of people in slavery, in bondage, who had no visible hope. How are they? They had no leader to get them out of this situation. He knew he was going to be their lead at that time. But basically, he gave up all that, which was wealth and position, and said, you know, that is absolute worthless. But that is something worth fighting for. So hold on this church will grow. No matter what you go through, no matter what sickness, financial troubles, building troubles, whatever you have, keep your eyes on God, have your faith in God, and let Him deal with it. Be like the children of Israel. What did they do? They didn't give up on God, did they? They didn't give up on God. What did they do? They got down on their knees and they cried out to God and said, "Help us, Lord." God heard their cries and sorted it. We today, we want to really get through a situation. Let's get down on our knees and pray to God and let Him hear our prayers. And I know, do it with faith and He will lead us out again. Okay? I just love it. I love our God. It also says that in Hebrews 6:12, we are not to be sluggish, but be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So again, that's on what I'm saying. Don't let the world suddenly think this is just a nice club. Let the world see that this is something special and different. Okay? Now, I've come to the end of my notes, which was the conclusion and everything else. So, while I just want to sort of reassure you this, I know we've got a great God. I know that we will build many great things for Him if we let Him do the building and we have faith in Him. I know that we are loved by Him. I know we are very precious. We are His workmanship. I know that where I am going, that I will be heirs with God. I know where I am going is a place where I will be free from sickness. No more tears. I know that this life, although it may seem at the time a drudgery, is but a moment in time. But God says there's an eternity. And I know that I will not follow another God. I will continue through the bad times and good times to have faith in Him who works for everything for the good of my life. And I pray that over everybody here today.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.